Amen. Revelation chapter 8. Revelation chapter 8 today. We've been studying of the seven seals on that scroll that Jesus took from the Father's right hand. We've been reading how they've been opened, and six seals were opened already. And catastrophic things have happened on the earth as each scroll was opened. God's judgment, wrath, poured out on the remaining people here. We, the church, will be raptured prior to this, prior to the great tribulation, will be taken out. There's one more seal to be opened. And last time we took a break between the sixth and seventh seal, and we studied about two groups of people. The 144,000, they're Jews who will be sealed by God, protected, and will be used to evangelize, no doubt, on earth. And then we read about those martyrs of the tribulation period now in heaven. People will be saved during the tribulation period, but it's so much easier now. And we read in verse 1, Jesus opens, when he opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven for about half an hour. Jesus opens the seventh seal, and silence for about a half an hour. Did you ever try to be in silence for a minute? A half hour is a long time. There's silence in heaven for a half an hour. Not on earth, but there's silence in heaven for about a half an hour. After all we've read of in heaven, the praising, the worship, the glorifying God, now there's silence, a half hour of silence. No doubt it seemed like a long time. Why the silence? We're not told. But there's a silence. You know, it could be the Spirit of God now moving on man here and giving, you know, man a chance to repent before the great judgments, before pouring anything else out. Or, you know, we read in Revelation 6, verse 16 and 17, where the people said to the mountains and rocks, "Fall on us. Hide us from the face of him who sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb, for the great day of his wrath has come, and who is able to stand?" So there's this time, probably for people, before anything more happens, to think about it, about this horrible wrath that's poured out from God. It's the calm before the storm. All singing, all praising done. You know, the 4th of July, the good fireworks comes when? On the end. But when they're shooting them all up, it's quiet. You know those aerial bombs? They go up very silent and almost out of sight. And so it all goes up silent, but then what happens? Boom! That's where we're at. This silence, and then, wow, there's more to come. The great fireworks show. Loudest blast of the night. So then the seventh seal is open and there's silence. No more worship. And then in verse 2, you read, "And I saw the seven angels who stand before God, and to them were given seven trumpets." So there's seven angels and seven with seven trumpets. So these angels are going to release the seven judgments when their trumpets are sounded. So the seventh seal, what it consists of is nothing in itself, but just releasing seven trumpets. Seven angels given seven trumpets. No specific judgment with the seventh seal, but there will be judgments released when they blow those trumpets. So there's seven seals. Now we see seven angels, and now seven trumpets. And these things just fall right in order. Because, you know, some people think these are just more of the same, just talked about again, the other catastrophic events we read, but it's not true because it says these don't go till the seventh seal is open. So that's a later time. And then these seven angels are there with seven trumpets. Another angel, though, verse 3. "Then another angel having a golden censer came and stood at the altar. He was given much incense that he should offer it with the prayers of all the saints upon the golden altar, which was before the throne. and the smoke of the incense with the prayers of the saints ascended before God from the angel's hand. So then there's this other angel, another angel, with a golden censer. There's all these different angels in heaven doing different works. There's probably these levels, as there is in the evil world, where there's principalities and powers, and God has different angels doing different things. So this other angel comes along, having a golden censer. You know what a golden censer is that was used for incense? You know, raised in the Catholic Church, I know it's like a bowl type thing with a chain through the middle, and they put the fire and then the incense on there, and then he would swing it and get all smoky in a church, smelled good and holy, but it didn't do anything. Just smelled good. But so there's this bowl-like thing, a gold bowl, you know, cut in half where you can open it up, put the fire in there and the incense on top of it, then close it back up, a chain going through the middle, and you can swing it like that. That's the type of thing it is. So that's the, and remember, things on earth were a picture of heaven. So we see, you know, incense and all these things used in the Old Testament before the altar. And so another angel with a golden censer, a bowl-like container of gold, has coal in there, and he puts incense on it. He was given much incense that he should offer it with the prayers of all the saints upon the golden altar, which was before the throne. Our prayers of the saints, are what rise to God as sweet incense. That's a symbol of our prayers. It's sweet to God. Our prayers rising to God before him. And this picture is one of the prayers going up before God. Let's turn to Psalm 141. Psalm 141. Psalm 141, a psalm of David. He was familiar with this. Lord, I cry out to you. Make haste to me. Give ear to my voice when I cry out to you. Let my prayer be set before you as incense, the lifting up of my hands as the evening sacrifice. So the prayers are like incense, symbolizing the incense going up to God. Now, this could symbolize, all our prayers are that way, but this could symbolize the prayer of the martyred saints in the tribulation period. Because, let's turn back to Revelation 6, verse 10. You remember this? In Revelation 6, verse 10. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, how long, O Lord, holy and true, until you judge and avenge our blood on those who dwell on the earth. Remember, they were under the altar, and in verse 9 we read they were under the altar, the souls of those who had been slain for the word of God, and they were crying. They were crying out to God. Their prayer was, how long, God, before you end this, before you avenge us and take wrath upon, judgment upon these people? So that could be the prayers rising up to God. You know, they've risen up to God, and they are there now, actually. And these could be the prayers where Lord is now going to continue that vengeance upon the earth with those that remain here. You know, in Exodus 30, we read of the altar of incense placed in the tabernacle. It was right before the Holy of Holies, and it was a sweet-smelling aroma to the Lord. And that's what this is. This is symbolizing our prayers, going up to God. He's pleased with our prayers, and he's going to answer our prayers. So God hears our prayers, and tells us in verse 4 here that the smoke of the incense with the prayers of the saints ascended before God from the angel's hand. So they're rising up to God. Now, verse 5, then the angel took the censer, filled it with fire from the altar, took fire off of the altar, and threw it to the earth. So the angel actually took the censer, filled it with fire from the altar, and he threw it to the earth. So great things are going to happen. Awesome things are going to happen on the earth now. filled with fire and thrown down to the earth. Now, we've mentioned this before. All these things in the book of Revelation, people try to scientifically explain, you know, with meteors or comets or lightning or thunders or natural things happening upon the earth caused by our environment or whatever. We do cause problems. But these things that we read of are always from God, not some natural thing that we're familiar with. Here, the angel just took this censer full of fire and threw it to the earth. So just like the Lord rained fire and brimstone on Sodom and Gomorrah. There was no science involved in that or no storms or anything. It just, God just judged Sodom and Gomorrah, and it was lightnings and thunder, and he destroyed it just from heaven. It's God's wrath upon the earth because of sin. So as he did that, he threw it to the earth. There were noises. Boy, wouldn't you hate to be here? That's pretty fearful. There were noises. You know, at night you hear one little noise, you say, what was that? Can you imagine how loud this will be? There were noises, thunderings, lightnings, and an earthquake. You notice how many times there's earthquakes in judgment? Wow. I think of that every time we have an earthquake. Wow, maybe this is it. Going to start. God's going to, you know, pretty soon we're going to be destroying things here. So the seven angels with seven trumpets who came on the scene as a result of the seventh seal open are now going to sound off. It's like, it's apparently this angel that came and did this. It's like, ready, set, go. And now the other trials and tribulations and earthquakes and thunderings and all these other events are going to happen. It's like, it's now time to go. He started it. And there's lightnings and an earthquake. So these angels now, who had the seven trumpets, prepared themselves to sound. This was like the gun going off. Go ahead, angels, blow your trumpets and send all these other things, cataclysmic things on the earth. And what do we see first? The first angel sounded, and hail and fire followed, mingled with blood. Isn't that weird? Mingled with blood, coming down from God. First angel, he blew the trumpet, and what comes out? Hail and fire followed, mingled with blood, and they were thrown to the earth. I don't know how that can be, but God just did it. Can you imagine the hail and the fire, and there's blood in between it all coming down the earth? What a horrible scene. They were thrown to the earth. And what happened as a result of that? A third of the trees were burned up. So right then, a third of the trees on earth burned up. And all green grass was burned up. A lot of people read this and think, well, a third of the earth was scorched. But it says a third of the trees and all the green grass. And I think that means all. I've looked at different, you know, interpretations, and it's all. Can you imagine no grass? I like green grass and the smell of it. All the green grass gone and a third of the trees just from God. But we see right here now what's starting here is the environment being affected. It's being affected with the first four trumpets. The first four trumpets are going to affect the environment. Things here. The food chain is now damaged because a third of the trees and all the green grass burned up. Can you imagine what this would cause on Earth? You talk about global warming. This is real global warming. A third of the trees were burned up. I'm glad you and I won't be here. God did this in Sodom and Gomorrah. And then in verse 8, the second angel sounded. And something like John is trying to write in his day something that is happening still future. What can he possibly relate that to? Just these terms that he knows. he said, something like a great monster, so this big, huge mass burning with fire. That's a huge thing. Was thrown into the sea, and it came and it fell into the sea. Now people say, well, a meteor or something. Could be, asteroid, meteor. But it's from God, and it's like this huge thing burning with fire, thrown into the sea. And what happened? A third of the sea became blood. So all the death in the sea now causes the whole sea to become blood. I'm sure John had a hard time writing this. I can't imagine how horrified he was to see this. Did you ever wake up from a dream and your heart's still beating? Like, oh, wow, am I glad it was a dream? Wow, he knows this is going to be real. That's a horrible thing. I wish that people that don't believe would read this book and try to understand it, and they would realize what's going to happen here if they're left here. And so verse 9, a third of the living creatures in the sea died, and a third of the ships were destroyed. Now look what this is doing. More of the food chain. A third of the sea became blood, so a third of the living creatures in the sea died. So that's eliminating a lot of food right there. Now more food destroyed, and a third of the ships were destroyed. Now that's interesting, which means that it would be difficult even to bring stuff in from other areas with no ships. See, people are being isolated now, and God's destroying, and there's going to be no hope, and man is going to have a hard time finding food and living during this time. You know, the Bible says, unless those days were shortened, no one would escape. And you can see why. So it seems that, you know, slowly God is getting rid of all the food that's here on this earth. And this seems, in verse 9 and 10, to affect the salt water. So now people go to fresh water. And so what happens? Then the third angel sounded, and a great star fell from heaven. Now, stars are huge. It says a great star fell from heaven, burning like a torch. Can you imagine that thing coming down? Burning like a torch, and it fell on a third of the rivers and on the springs of water. So now it's affecting fresh water. Everything's being destroyed, everything that man can eat. So it falls on the fresh water and the springs of water. And the flame of the star is wormwood. A third of the waters became wormwood, and many men died from the water because it was made bitter. Wormwood means bitterness, a bitter plant growing in the wastelands, apparently poisonous. We read about it in the Bible. So it was called wormwood because it made the water bitter. Water became bitter, and men will be thirsty and drink of that water and die. This is the way it will be. And what has caused all of this? Sin. God judging the earth. Well, look what man has done to God's creation. It's his. And so he's going to be the one that finally terminates it. And that's the way it'll be. You know, this can't even compare. All of these things that are happening really can't even compare to what it'll be like for people who don't believe, that spend eternity in hell. They think this is bad. You know, but it's been said, for the believer, this is the closest we'll ever get to hell. For the unbeliever, this is the closest they'll ever get to heaven. What a horrible thought. That's how bad it'll be. Thank God for grace. So in verse 12, the fourth angel sounded. What happens with this now? A third of the sun was struck, a third of the moon, a third of the stars, so that a third of them were darkened, a third of the day did not shine, and likewise the night. This is darkness, just like happened at the Passover. This is darkness. A third of the sun, a third of the moon, and a third of the stars, they didn't shine. A third of them were darkened, and a third of the day did not shine, and likewise the night. So there's a couple thoughts here on interpreting this, two ideas. It could mean the day is shortened by a third. In other words, we'd have 16 hours. You know, the sun and moon would shine differently, and we'd have 16 hours, and there'd be less light. Can you imagine a power shortage? This cuts into daylight savings time. Now, the second thought is that the light from the sun, the light in on the earth, would be reduced by a third. In other words, like if you have a dimmer in your house and you could put the light way up, or you could dim it by a third so that it's not really bright anymore on the earth. Just less light coming down. Light reduced by a third or the day shortened by a third. But both affect the environment. No light, things are a little different. Could be from meteors or wars or dust clouds or things like that, but this is tells us is just from God, just from God. And verse 13, and I looked and heard an angel flying through the midst of heaven. So John sees this, hears this angel flying in through the midst of heaven, saying with a loud voice, woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth because of the remaining blasts of the trumpet of the three angels who are about to sound. Boy, that's scary. So this angel flies in the midst of heaven proclaiming a message. And what is the message? Woe, woe, woe. We always hope things get better. He's saying, woe, woe, woe. Why three woes? Three trumpets left. More disasters. Because there's three more judgments that are going to affect man. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth, it says. Woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth. Literally, it means, like we read in another spot, people that have made the world their home. See, people either make their reservation in heaven or they make this world their home and final place. It says, woe to those people. We read of this. It's hard to digest. But here's the good news. You know, if we go home with this, we say, wow, that's bad. But the good news is, for those still living now, is that God still has the door open. Let's turn to 2 Peter chapter 3. Second Peter chapter 3, verse 9. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But it will come. See, but he doesn't want any to perish. That's why the door is still open. I wish people would come in, because God says to mankind, you don't have to go through this. You don't have to worry about this. You can make a reservation in heaven. That's why it's important that we preach the gospel and tell people the whole truth and what they're headed for. Sometimes we keep away the scary parts of the gospel, whereas it doesn't really bother people if they don't hear that there's judgment coming, or God's wrath coming, or that hell is real. They think they can just go on with life. See, God wants us to share the whole truth so that people can turn and choose not to do this. Ezekiel 33, if you'd like to turn there. Ezekiel chapter 33. Starting in verse 7. Ezekiel 33, verse 7. So you, son of man, I have made you a watchman for the house of Israel. You know, it's like the prophets, the overseers. He says you're watchmen, like a pastor today or a minister. I've made you watchmen for the house of Israel. Therefore, you shall hear a word from my mouth and warn them for me. He said, I'm setting you up with this position. And the Old Testament was the prophets. Now it's pastors, teachers, evangelists, people that share the gospel. He says, you shall hear a word from my mouth and warn them for me. He doesn't say, make it really pleasant to come to me. He says, warn them for me. When I say to the wicked, a wicked man, you shall surely die, and you do not speak to warn that wicked man from his way, that wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood I will require at your hand. Well, what if they don't listen? Nevertheless, if you warn the wicked to turn from his way, and he does not turn from his way, he shall die in his iniquity, but you have delivered your soul. He says, you're doing your job. That's okay. It's his choice. Therefore, you, O son of man, say to the house of Israel, thus you say, if our transgressions and our sins lie upon us, and we pine away in them, how then can then we live? Say to them, as I live, says the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. Turn from your evil ways, for why should you die, O house of Israel? Can you see God just pleading with the people? Turn. But they need to know what they're turning from. God's wrath, his judgment, and eternity in a place called hell. It's so horrible. God has done all he could to justify people. One chooses to go against God. Because as we read the book of Revelation, we say, how horrible for the people here. How horrible if we fail to share that there's a heaven and a hell. You don't just come to Jesus for a better life. You come to Jesus for forgiveness of sins and escape judgment. That's the real reason. And we need to share that. We need to be obedient to God and do what we're called to do. He's merciful and gracious. Let's turn to Exodus 34. Exodus 34, verse 5. Remember when the Lord proclaimed his name to Moses? Exodus 34, verse 5. Now the Lord descended in the cloud and stood with him there and proclaimed the name of the Lord. And the Lord passed before him and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abounding in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, by no means, though, clearing the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children and the children's children to the third and the fourth generation. So if the fathers commit iniquity and it passes on to the children and they commit iniquity, it keeps going on and on and on. But God is merciful, because as we read these things, we would think, oh, how horrible that people will be punished this way. But it's because they choose to be, because they don't want to surrender to the Lord. Sin has to be punished. This world has to be cleansed. So we share the horrible things that happen, but there's a great way to avoid it all. Next week, Revelation 9, and then the fifth angel sounded. Father, we thank you for your word tonight. We thank you for your mercy and your grace. Lord, we pray that we ourselves would just stand firm in our faith and not compromise it. Help us to remember these things and give us opportunity to share them, Lord. Open the hearts of people around us that don't know you. We pray that they would see their need for Jesus because they're a sinner and they need forgiveness. So work by your Spirit, Lord. Touch people's hearts and minds and open them up. And let us remember these words so we can share them. And God, comfort us and the fact that you love us so much, you sent your Son to deliver us from sin, from this evil day. And we thank you for it, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.